Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, here with another episode of Conversations with Authors. Every week on the podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. My guest today is Angela Atkinson, blogger turned author who is passionate about Swindon. Yes, the town in Wiltshire that's most famous for its magic roundabout. At one stage, I lived near Swindon and Angela and I met at a few business networking meetings and talked about her blog, Born Again Swindonian. But I didn't know until recently that she's since become an author and has written four Swindon-based books in the space of 2 years. Anyway, it was great to catch up with her and I hope you enjoy listening to the interview as much as I enjoyed doing it. A word of warning, there is a swear word in there just once, but I hope it won't bother you too much. So make a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy my conversation with Angela Atkinson. Angela, it's lovely to meet you today.
Well, hello, Alison. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you. That's amazing.
So tell me a little bit about your books.
So I've written four Swindon-related books. The first one is called Secret Swindon, and that came out in, 2017, I think. Or was it 2018? It's all happened within a couple of years. And then the next one, well, the two came out the same year. One was Swindon in 50 Buildings. That was my own project. And then alongside that, I was subcontracted to do that one by a Swindon artist. And that was like about him, Ken White, muralist and painter. Mm-hmm. So those three were all with Amberley Publishing. And then last summer, I published a guidebook, a Swindon guidebook. But from a very particular born again Swindonian slant to it. And it was a bit weird because that was a project I really first started to think about when I was at university. I should explain. I did an English honours degree a few years ago, so only about 7 years ago. And at the end of that degree, in the last year, I did a travel writing module. Yeah, so for this travel writing module, how it started, let me tell you the story. That's the best way.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the the module options, right? And I said to the lecturer, who's the module leader for this travel writing module, Moving Words, I said, right, Robin, I would really like to do this travel writing module. It looks interesting. It looks a change, you know, from doing yet more classic novels or British fiction, as great as they've been. If this doesn't seem like a stupid thing to say, I don't do any travelling. So he said, Angela, he said, the last thing I want on my desk is another gap year in Thailand. tell me what you see.
We can all swan off and do a gap year in Thailand, can't we?
Yeah. Some of these middle class Bristolians, they definitely do. So tell me what you see when you walk to your Tesco Express. And it was the literal light bulb moment. Because what I see when I walk to my Tesco Express is a piece of public art. Mm. Not that I knew the term public art then. I didn't. I'm not even sure that I knew that this was... I think I vaguely knew that it was sculpture. But not much more about it than that. But there was literally I could write about that. And I knew about one or two other sculptures in West Swindon. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realise that there was actually a whole trail of them. There were seven sculptures, and that there was a 5 mile circular walk that took in all these sculptures. And that only, you know, became apparent as I started to dig. So that was what started Born Again Swindonian, really. So I thought,
okay.
And at this stage, blogging was becoming a thing, right? That was when blogging was the new big thing. And a friend had started a blog, and I got blog envy. Big time, but I didn't know what I wanted to blog about. So that gave me something to blog about. And so, yeah, so I set up this blog called Born Again Swindonian. And the term was very much a play on Born Again Christian. That was the whole point of it, to activate that schemata, you know, in your brain of all of that stuff. And I am passionate about Swindon. I'm evangelical about Swindon. So it fitted with that as well. And it just made a snappy title. And so it's grown from there. And that is, it's ultimately through the blog, is how Secret Swindon came to be.
Yeah.
This one. I know that you can't see it, but I'm showing it. So I picked up an email on the blog one morning, one day. I remember I was ill at the time. I got bronchitis. And I thought, I don't know what that is. I'll just send him a quick reply and then I'll come back to you. And anyway, it was from a chap who was a commissioning editor for Amberley Books, who are based in Stroud. And he said, oh, I've been looking at your blog. It looks really interesting. You've got some good stuff on there. We have a series of books called Secret XXXXX.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in writing Secret Swindon?
Okay.
That was how that came about. So I had to come up with a plan for it, you know, the chapters and an introduction and the first chapter. And I said, you know, as an outline, I sent that to them and then, you know, they took it to the planning meeting and they decided to commission it. So that was how that happened. I hadn't actually, apart from this vague thought about a guidebook, which I'd, you know, played around with but never really done anything with. Although, funnily enough, I had started to when Secret Swindon came along. I hadn't actually had plans to write a book. It happened.
Okay, yeah. So what inspired you? You said you were doing the writing course. What inspired you to do that then, if that was kind of where your inspiration for writing began?
Well, I mean, the degree even.
Yeah.
I mean, the degree, right. Well, that came out of compulsory early retirement. From work, I was given compulsory retirement when I was in the early 50s, and I'd had sort of a vague, you know, desire to do an English degree for a long time, and that goes back to talking about inspirational teaching, not school. It was when I was in my 30s, my marriage had broken up. I'm still in Derbyshire at this time, and I toddled off to the local tech, as it still was back then, to do a GCSE in English literature, because it hadn't been on my curriculum at school, in English literature. And my very first essay was on Of Mice and Men. Obviously, it's always Of Mice and Men, isn't it?
Yeah, I did that too. That,
the lecturer wrote, I mean, I think he marked it 17 out of 20. He marked out of 20. So he gave me 17 out of 20 and he put, have you ever thought about doing a degree?
Wow, okay. That's not a bad
thing,
is it?
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as I finished my GCSE, he took me by the hand and literally took me down the corridor to the A-level class, who were then like a year in almost, you know, their first year. And he said, right, you're going to do your A-level now. Pushed me in that. And so that I did. So what they'd been doing up until that point had been Romeo and Juliet. So I took the books home, because they were about to break up for the summer. So I took the books home and did the questions over the summer break, and then went back and did the rest of it. So I kind of did that A-level in a year, really. And I managed to get a C, which, you know, for a 36-year-old, you know, opting out of years out of education, etc., I think it's pretty good. So that was that. Then I moved to Swindon, you know, went into full-time education, single parent, all of that stuff got in the way. So it's when I got, when I got the compulsory early retirement, it's my daughter, really. She looked into it all and she went, Mother, why don't you go to university? You could do an English degree. You've always wanted to do that. You'd be really good at that. And she said, you could maybe, like, you know, go into teaching English as a second language, you know, or something like that when you graduate. So that was how it started. So I got to university when I was 54.
Wow, that's super impressive. I was a mature student, but I was only 31, so, you know, I was...
Oh, no, you only got to be 25 to be a mature student. Well,
that's true, yes. But so that then started in you, this inspiration for writing that kind of led on to the Swindon stuff, that then led to the books, but not through your doing, really, through somebody else actually commissioning you to write the first book.
Yeah. So I always feel a bit of a fraud, really, Alison, when people say to me, so what inspired you to write a book? Well, nothing. You know,
somebody asked
you to. Obviously, I mean, it wasn't luck. I mean, I've been writing that blog for some years by that time.
Yeah.
You know, putting lots of good stuff on there. I mean, nothing is, well, apart from winning the lottery, that's luck. But very little else is luck, is it? Which golfer was it? Was it Arnold Palmer? Anyway, one of them, he said, didn't he? You know, it's funny how the harder I practice, the luckier I get.
So it was the hard work of the blog that you put into the blog that then led
the blog in the first instance, and he found that, and that obviously impressed him. So that started it. So then obviously they're on the back of Secret Swindon, then they then just straight away commissioned me to do Swindon in 50 buildings.
Okay.
So they commissioned me to do that, And then, say, then at the same time, this artist in Swindon, a chap called Ken White, very well-known artist, I mean, he's got his well into his 70s now, but he spent 25, amongst other things, was Richard Branson's personal artist for 25 years.
Gosh, fancy having a personal artist. Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, with murals. Ken White is very famous as a muralist. I mean, you know, the world over is well known as a muralist. And so he painted murals in Richard Branson's airport lounges. All around the world, and his Virgin record shops, and you know, all of that stuff. Mm. And so he got a contract, I think, you know, him or his daughter, whatever, negotiated a contract with Amberley for his story, because he subcontracted to me to write it.
Right. So,
rather annoyingly, Amberley see him as the author, and he gets all the royalties.
Oh.
And it was good to write his story, you know, because he's got quite a legacy of work and stuff. So I did those two concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So then, having finished those, then I thought, right, now is the time, Angela, to get this flipping guidebook written. If you don't get it done now, you know, you'll be retiring off to Surrey and you'll never have done it. And then you'll be furious. And I had no idea. I mean, it wasn't an Amberley thing. I knew Amberley wouldn't take that. It's too, you know, too narrow and too niche. And anyway, Amberley are very much about local history and history-related stuff. That's their, you know, that's their market.
Right, yeah, rather than guidebooks. So presumably some of the writings come from your blogs, but how do you go about the writing process of the books? Is there a project you have for each one, or...?
So let's, for instance, so say with if we take Swindon in 50 Buildings, obviously there is a brief that I have to meet, you know, the publisher. They had to be still standing buildings. I have to present them in chronological order. But which buildings went into it were down to me. I mean, they do have final approval. So I had to produce a list, you know, of the buildings that I thought merited. Because obviously this isn't about necessarily architectural merit. It's about the stories. You know, there are stories everywhere, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. You know, your Park Benish has a story. You know, you just have to look for them, don't you? And then it's about research. So it's just sort of working through them, really. Drew up my list, which was, I tell this story sometimes when I give little talks. It was a bit like, you know, like you're planning a wedding and you draw up a list of the cousins and the uncles and the aunties and the aunts, don't you? And then you think, oh God, I can't invite that lot. And so you have to go, you know, take some out. Well, it was a bit like that, you know, with buildings. Because there is a lot of material. You know, there's a lot of buildings that really should have gone in, but I couldn't get them in. To try and find balance, you know. So I gave obviously a lot of thought to how I was going to do it. So should I just go for listed buildings? Should I just go for railway buildings? Should I, you know, because you could easily find 50 interesting books related to the GWR, for instance. But in the end, I opted for geographic spread as much as I reasonably could. Different parts of Swindon are represented. And different sorts of buildings. So it's not all churches, it's not all old, it's not all new, it's not all, you know, whatever it might, not all pubs, it's not all, you know, this, that and the other. And then it's a matter of going to local studies and also the Wiltshire and Swindon History Centre in Chippenham.
Yeah.
And doing the research, yeah. And getting it, because you have to provide all the images, they don't give you a budget for that. Mm-hmm. And then finding somebody. Luckily, I've got a friend's husband who's got a camera and likes taking pictures. So that's great. Chris, I need photos of this. And off he goes and gets them for me. So that's how I do it. So, yeah, so with the guidebook, a little bit more of this has been drawn from stuff on the blog. But even then, not entirely. I've still created, you know, content from scratch. Because what I've got in the guidebook, as well as things about places to go, I mean, it's not so much about the outlet centre and Steam and Lydiard, you know, as wonderful as those things are. It's about the glitter in the concrete.
Okay.
You know, and the sparkle in the cement is what this is about. And it's got, I mean, I know your listeners won't be able to see, but it's full of lovely little maps like this.
Okay.
Done by a Swindon artist.
Mm.
And photographs as well. So I wrote trails, like, so for instance, like a new Swindon exploration. So like a walk. So you start at De Paolo's Italian Death Deli, because I like the coffee there. It's good, might as well. So
good
you
place
start
to start.
Yeah, exactly. So you can start and finish it there if you wish, you know. And this walk round, and this is, you know, so you go to this mural here, and then you go to the GWR park here, and, you know, and make sure you look up, you know.
Right.
But the whole point, the whole, you know, the main thrust of this is that even if a thing isn't beautiful, and even if a thing is shabby, it doesn't mean it isn't interesting.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it is the central message of the guidebook. So that was, so as I say, so some of that was a bit more present, and like I was able to do that because I got it finished through lockdown and got it, you know, launched last year.
Right. Yeah.
Without much need to get to the library.
Yeah. So I guess the first three books, they were published by Amberley.
Amberley, yeah. Yeah.
How much control did you have over sort of the publishing process? Were you involved in that?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
I mean,
so
there's pros and cons, isn't there, to this? I mean, so, you know, the self-publishing revolution is a mixed blessing, I think. It's put, you know, in some ways it's a good thing, because obviously it means people can put stuff out there. But what it's obviously done is it's made it very difficult for the publishing industry, you know, that, I mean, not that I'd be likely to get a massive advance, you know, I mean, you need to be J.K. Rowling for that sort of thing, you know, but there is nothing for people like me. There is nothing, you know, I mean, Amberley are actually, to be fair to them, are better than some in that, I mean, you know, their offer, which is paltry, but it's actually better than some. It's commission on sales, net commission. So, for instance, the library shop at Waterstones, they buy the books for the same price that I can buy them for, which is like half price. The RRP is $14.99, but I only get commission on what they've paid, not on the RRP. So it's not huge. But of course, the upside of that is that you have none of the risk. You know, as an author, you've got no risk. You've got no outlay. You're not left with a garage full of books, you know, that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
They don't do a great deal of marketing, I have to say. I mean, I thought they would do more than they did. And they did arrange a signing with Waterstones in Swindon and also at Steam Museum. And I have to say, Waterstones in Swindon have been very supportive. They're really good. Waterstones, I think, unlike WH Smith, is the, I've clearly got with the programme and given their local managers some autonomy, you know, to do things with local authors and stuff. So they have a table. I mean, the Waterstones in Swindon, it's on two levels. And on the stairwell, they, in the corner there, it's like a spiral staircase, they have a table and they put on it things that they're promoting. So I've been on there and that table's been, all my publications are on this table.
I hope you took a photo.
Oh, of course, absolutely. And when Swindon in 50 Buildings was coming out, then they put it on the till receipts, you know, new book from Angela Atkinson, you know, coming.
So maybe that would be something useful for you know, if there are authors who've got books with a local spin, or even just promoting themselves as a local author, have a look at the phones and see if you get some sort of promotion there.
I think it helps if you've got an actual publisher, I would say. You know, because like with the guidebook, when this one is with a chap called John Chandler, and he runs a one-man band, small printing press called Hobnob Press.
Okay. I was going to ask how you got that one published.
And I know John. How do I know John Chandler? Just from community stuff, because he used to work. He's another Swindon enthusiast. He's written about Swindon and Wiltshire, and he worked in the reference library many years ago, and he's very fond of Swindon. He's still involved with this Swindon History Network thing, and so I've known him for some years through that. So I approached him about the guidebook, and he said, yeah, we can do that, we can take that on. And of course, because Waterstones know him, and because they now know me, they've taken the guidebook just before we went into lockdown.
Okay. So with that one, then, have you is that print on demand with the local printer, or is that
the guidebook is. Six copies, you know, I'm not having to pay carriage on them and all that kind of thing. It was a whole lot easier process, I have to say.
Waterstones order direct from the printer, do they? They order stock from the printer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they'll just go to John for them. Yeah, I think I'm assuming that's what they do. Yeah, because they got some in. I think they got hold of one, and the guy said it sold straight away, so that was encouraging. Because obviously with the first one with Secret Swindon, I think they probably took five, and they sold. Because you have to remember that as Born Again Swindonian, I have a name. You know, that is my brand, and a lot of people know me and know the Born Again Swindonian thing. So I had something of an advantage, really, you know, because of that. So I think they took five, sold them within a couple of days. So then they bought, you know, some more and so forth. And they still with the guide, but yeah, he managed to get like say 10 in or something just before we went back into lockdown before Christmas. So I've no idea if they've managed to sell or not.
Okay, yeah.
So I would say, and if you know, if somebody feels they've got a book in them of any description, is do lots of research. Weigh up the pros and cons. Another thing that seems to be happening is I proofread a book for a guy recently, a chap in Swindon. He's written a book about park football, you know, non-league football, which sounds very dull, but actually it was all right because there's quite a lot of social history in it. So despite the fact that I have zero interest in sport of any kind, it held my attention. So anyway, I think he decided to go with this in the end. He got an offer from a publishing house, and they did a half and half thing whereby they put up some of the costs, but he had to put up the rest. But they said they were printing more copies. I mean, Amberley only do an initial print run of 300 because it's a very niche market, their stuff. But yeah, so they were doing a half and half thing.
What other tips would you give to anyone who's in the middle of writing a book or thinking about writing a book?
I think just do it, really. You know, like I said, when I was at uni with my essays, you know, like some people plan their essays and all that sort of stuff. I could never do that. I just wouldn't get anything done. You know what I mean? I think just start writing. It might be shit to begin with, but just do it, basically. You know, just get it out there. I mean, the same when I write a blog now, if I'm doing it for a client and if I'm not sure where I'm starting with it, just start. You know, just think of a heading. It might not be the heading that you want, but just think of a heading and just start doing it, and then worry about, I think, do it and then hone it after, rather than trying to make it perfect as you go through.
Is my
top tip, really, for writing anything, you know, okay, a book, yeah, or, you know, whatever it might be. Just do it, because otherwise you'll never get anywhere.
You said that you found that you're less smug about seeing mistakes in things since having your books published. Is there anything else that you've learned about yourself?
Well, I definitely don't have a novel in me. I mean, I can do this sort of thing, non-fiction. The creative, I just don't have it. I don't have those ideas, you know. I mean, I'm creative in that. Say, like a client might say, oh, I'd like a blog about this, and I can go away and write a blog about whatever it might happen to be. But what I couldn't do, absolutely could not do, is write a novel. Definitely not. I would quite like to do something else. I don't know quite what. Well, actually, that's not true. I'm working on, because with Swindon and 50 buildings, I had to keep the buildings within the borough. They wouldn't let me go, you know, like outside into the wider borough of Swindon. They've got to be central, rather. Central Swindon, or Swindon itself, not the wider borough, when I can spit it out. So I've started a series on the blog now, Swindon in 50 More Buildings, where I can plug some gaps and do some stuff in the wider borough that I couldn't do. And I'll possibly, hopefully, turn that into a book when I finish them. Maybe with John Chandler, the guy who printed the guidebook. Because again, Amberley just do the one, you know, they don't do sequels.
I could ask,
but I don't think they do. They just have the one series. So I'm doing that. So I've learned humility a little bit. Then, no, let's not go mad here, you know, but a little bit of humility about the whole thing. And it's nice because it's a legacy, and it's, you know, you can take things in a different direction than I can do with Born Again Swindonian. And that's been really good. So I've been, I'm going to sit back and think, I've written four books in 2 years.
You're going.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement, really. And, you know, and I've kept my, I mean, it's a small business by design, my little micro business. You know, I've kept that ticking over and, you know, been with the grandchildren and all that stuff. There's no wonder I'm tired.
I was going to say, what's next for you? You said you might do the 50 more books.
Yeah, 50 more books.
As well as on the blog. So do you think there'll be any more books after that? Or
I don't know. Maybe. A chap, he founded the Link magazine in West Swindon many, many years ago. He suggested to me that he and I could do West Swindon in 20 buildings together. Like say like 15 that are still here and 5 that are gone, because West Swindon is more interesting than people think. You know, it has got a history before you know, all this conurbation pitched up here. I mean, I didn't particularly plan to, but these are other things that have been mentioned to me, and then I go maybe. And then there's a guy called Richard Wintle. He's retired now, but he was a press photographer, photojournalist. And I mean, he has covered everything in Swindon, you know, over the years, and he's got this huge archive of photographs going back probably 30 years, more than that even. And because I was because he was in Swindon in 50 more buildings, I asked him if he'd got some photographs of W.H. Smith, you know, the headquarters in Swindon, as that's going under a listing process at the moment. And so I did a Swindon in 50 more buildings thing on that one. And he said, we could perhaps work together, think like on industries that are gone, you know, because, you know, there's been Garrard Record Decks and there's been Bluebird Toys and, you know, oh, so many industries in Swindon that were, you know, famous, big things in their time. And we'll have the photographs of this place, you know, and, you know, like he could do the photographs and me do the words sort of thing.
Yeah, sounds like there's a couple more Swindon-based books in you before you...
I hang up my board against Swindonian hat. Yeah, I definitely would like to do Swindon in 50 more buildings. That's a definite. Because there's so many, as I say, gaps to plug and, you know, the wider borough to represent that I couldn't do.
So if people wanted to find your books or to read the blog, where can they find you online?
Okay, that's an important point. Well, the blog is called Born Again Swindonian, so you just put Born Again Swindonian into Google and you'll find it. But the URL is www.swindonian.me. And the books, the only ones I've got personally, I do have the Swindon Born Again Swindonian's Guide to sell. The others, Secret Swindon and Swindon in 50 Buildings. If you're local, if you're in Swindon, then the library shop have them, Waterstones have them. Steam Museum has got Swindon in 50 Buildings, and then they're also on Amazon.
So anyone in the world who wants to find out more about Swindon can get
On Amazon, and also Amberley's own website as well. The three Amberley ones, they're on their own website as well.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. It's been really lovely to talk to you today and to find
out about
your books and check out Old Swindonian if you want to find out more.
Yeah, swindonian.me. Yeah, but yeah, Born Again Swindonian, that will find me.
Angela, for being my guest on the show today. If you'd like to find out more about what being a born-again Swindonian entails, or what it's like to live in Swindon, or you'd like to find out more about any of Angela's books, just go to swindonian.me. You'll also find her books on Amazon, and I'll put all the links in the show notes. If you would like to write a book, but you need some help along the way, have a look at my website, www.theproofairy.com, and let's chat. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with information on how you could be a guest on the show, but only once you've written that book. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and leave a review. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.